It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. Today, a man who wears many, 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 many hats.
Salam alaikum, fanatics. It is now time to hitch up your thongs and fire up your bongs. And tonight we got some songs that will definitely make you want to break out, put your underwear on top of your head, and cause a riot.
Musician, actor, radio host, among many other things, Henny Rollins, speaking on KCRW in Santa Monica. Many know him best as frontman for the quintessential 80s punk band Black Flag. But since that group disbanded years ago, Rollins founded his own record label, created his own show on KCRW, tours as a spoken word artist, among many other things. Henny Rollins is now on tour again, and he'll be in Atlanta this week and joins me from his home in L.A. Hi there.
Oh, hello.
So this is a travel slideshow, I guess, concert? Is it a performance? What do you call it?
Oh, well, when I'm on stage just on my own, a lot of the stories I tell are informed by the travel that I do. And I take a lot of photos. And so a few years ago, at the National Geographic Theater in Washington, they asked me if I would basically do a narrated slideshow. So it's photos I've taken pretty much from every continent. And so there's a story with every photo, and that's basically the show. A dark room, a nice screen with high-resolution photographs with me in the dark talking about them.
What kind of camera do you use?
I use Canon bodies just because they're easy for me to understand, and you can't break them.
Do you drop cameras sometimes?
No, but when you travel hard, like pretty much any travel you do in Africa ages everything. Like you'll take a new pair of boots to a month in Africa and you come back and the boots look like you've worn them for 20 years. Everything just gets road hard in Africa. And when you just travel with a backpack for weeks at a time, things get knocked around. And as careful as you want to be with gear, you can't be careful enough with a lens or anything. So I just try and get like what I found to be indestructible. And I'm not trying to do an ad for Canon. It's just gear that has never failed me.
So I want to play this clip of you. You do all kinds of different shows. This is a piece of a Comedy Central feature that you did. And you're talking about a journey you took with a former colleague from Black Flag.
And we make a left into some huge supermarket, and we go right to the meat section. And he grabs a steak in its cellophane and styrofoam, tears it open, rips the meat in half, just hands me half of it. And he plunges part of it into his mouth, and he's eating it. I'm like, and I start eating it too. The entire supermarket is just silent, looking at these two men.
So I wonder, is there something particular about travel that makes it for good stories, or can you just make a story out of anything that happens in your life?
Well, for me plus travel pretty much always equals something interesting. It just depends on how you travel. I think geographic displacement, like to get you out of your normal, like right now I'm in my office.
Yeah.
I know everything in this room. It's appallingly familiar to me. And it doesn't quite inspire, and that's why when I'm off the road, I'm just usually editing. I'm just taking materials from the road, writing photos, whatever, and preparing them for, something. Or I'm getting ready to leave on a tour or something. So when I'm off the road, I'm basically preparing for the next, voyage. And my life, for me, it happens out in the world. When I'm home, I'm kind of on pause. I'm in preparation mode, which is fine, but I'd much rather be out in it. And I think that's where all the real stories are, and that's where all the life is as I see it. And that's why I always bring a camera, and I'm always writing things down, because I'm always looking for a story to tell somebody.
So one of the things that you do while you're home is your radio show at KCRW. I want to play a clip of one of the interviews that you've done. This is an interview you did with Ozzy Osbourne for the Henley Rollins Show.
Like back in the day when Sabbath was, making, the early records, I'm sure you guys got some of the most incredible bad reviews known to man.
We never, ever got a good review.
Right.
And you know what? If we did, we didn't like it. Because we were a people's band. We didn't...
Well, yeah. Well,
we didn't think some executives should say we're...
Well, you got bad reviews, but every tour sold out and because yeah. you're the people's band.
So what is it that keeps you going back to the radio show?
Oh, it's the... I wear a lot of different hats, I guess. So I just say yes to everything. I've wanted to have a radio show since I was about, I don't know, 12 or 13. Because I was one of those shy, introspective types who, you know, cries when the ball is thrown at his head. And so being alone in my room with my records and the radio was kind of my little universe. And I loved hearing the person talk to me between songs. And I liked the songs. This was, you know, 70s AM or FM radio, so it was really, really good music. But I liked hearing what the guy was saying or what the gal was saying between songs. I wanted to be that person. And after seeing that scene with Wolfman Jack in American Graffiti and hearing his voice, he was syndicated for a little while, and I would listen to him in Washington, D.C., where I lived. And I was fascinated by this. You can't see this person. It's all about the voice. And you just kind of wondered what they were really like. Like the Dreyfuss does in American Graffiti. And I wanted to be that person. And so many years ago in the early 2000s, I was offered a slot at Indy 103, a station that went away. Yeah. And after it went away in 2009, I guess it was, Jason Bentley, my boss, one of them, called me and said, "Hey, I heard about Indy 103. I'm like, "Yeah, pile on." He went, no, we're sorry about that, but we'd love to have you over at KCRW. And I said yes to that so fast, I think I sprained my jaw. Because it's such a great job. And so I've been there, I'm closing in on about 500 shows I've done at KCRW. April of 2018, I think will be 9 years there. And I'm always relieved when they don't fire me. I have a fear of it. And I love my job there, and I really like turning people on to music. It's like the funnest of all the things I do. It's the lowest pressure. Like I just came back from a trip where the first thing I did was a keynote speech, and then I flew to a location, and the next day was in a pilot for a TV show, and then I flew immediately from that to Luxembourg to be in a movie for almost a month, and I just returned a couple of days ago. And so that's a lot of juggling of chainsaws and a lot of, you know, check your stomach so you don't, you know, lose your lunch on your way to work. But the radio show doesn't have any of that trepidation for me. And so having a lower stress gig now and then, because everything else I do is, you know, hey, don't screw this up. Okay. The radio show, I don't know, I just really enjoy when I get that letter from someone like, I never thought I'd, would like jazz music, but you turn me on to John Coltrane, and now he's like my favorite musician. There you go. Or I get a letter from a band like, hey, we're getting all these people at our shows every night on this tour saying they heard us on your show. Thank you for playing our record. That's why I have a radio show.
So let me play a little bit, just so everyone can remember how most people first heard the name of Henry Rollins. Let me play a little bit of early Black Flag. This is Rise Above.
Rise, stop what we do. Rise above, we're gonna rise. When they can't do it themselves, rise above, we're gonna rise above. Way up higher, up your abuse. Try to stop us, it's no use.
I think some people may be surprised to hear you describe yourself as a young, shy, sort of introspective person, because your persona, at least in the punk rock scene, was so very not that.
Art, if you will. That's a little highbrow. But music or some kind of artistic, like non-lethal playground gives you a place to really let it out. I had all that in me. It's just that, where do you put that? If you do it in the schoolyard, you get thrown out or you get arrested. If you do it at your workplace, you get fired. And so you do it in the practice room. And when I saw punk rock bands play, I was like, oh, well, I should be doing that. I mean, that's the place to put a crazy person like me. And many years ago, I was watching a band who I grew up around called the Bad Brains, a famous band.
Yeah. Yeah.
And HR, the singer, came up to me and he said, you know, Henry, you're a singer. And I said, no, you're a singer. Actually, you're the singer as far as I'm concerned. Kind of still is. And he said, nope, you're a singer, and tonight you're singing with the Bad Brains. And he literally that night grabbed me out of the audience, put me up on stage, handed me the mic, hopped off the stage, stood in front of the stage with his arms crossed, scowling at me like, go, sing. And I kind of knew some of their songs. I saw them all the time. And so we sang a couple of songs. And, you know, I don't know, what I forget what people did. I was like 19 or something. And 18, I forget. Anyway, he took the mic back and said, see, you're a singer. And that was a hell of an endorsement. And so that's kind of how I got into all of that. I can be on stage and kind of be anything I want, and I can kind of sort of do that in acting. But if you, say, come to my birthday party, I will absolutely freeze with trepidation.
So a lot of the things, themes, social issues that punk was sort of fighting against or singing about are still present with us today. I read an op-ed that you wrote about President Trump not very long ago. And I wonder if you think there is just always going to be this battle between authoritarianism and liberty or tyranny, I guess, and governmental forces. Or is there something different that's changed in the past year or so?
I think you'll always have struggle between those in power and those who see themselves as not or powerless, just because the human brain is so high functioning, unless you are kind of morally intense, some people will fall prey to, well, why can't I have twice this? And he's not defending his all that much. I'm gonna go take his. And that's how wars start. Well, we're going to move the border over a few hundred miles. Hey, that's our land. Well, it was. You got something to say about it? And that's, you might think, well, that's people acting primal. No, that's the human brain in fifth gear, actually. You know, we just want more because we're high function. We get bored easily. And that's why more drugs, more this, more that, crazier video games, because we acclimate very quickly. And so you almost have to put a stick in the spokes of your bike to be fair. And I'm not saying we're all looking to take someone else's stuff. I'm just saying it's kind of amazing that America hasn't ripped itself to pieces a few more times since 1865 cooled off, because people just want what they want and they don't always are able to employ the brakes and go, whoa, that's not cool. And so you're always going to have misogyny, a certain degree of it. I've seen homophobia, racism, and misogyny in the almost 100 countries I've been to in my life. I think you might have less of it as maybe America embraces science more. And whenever I meet a young woman, a girl, you know, like some 10-year-old girl, a friend of somebody I know, or a daughter, I always say, you know, just know this as a young woman, this century is the century of women. And I hope you're a part of that, because this is it. This is where I want to see women change the game. I would love to see women flip the script. And we've tried it. We're men running it for the last, since we crawled out of caves. Let's try something else. And let's give that a few thousand years and see how we go. I'm in. And so I think you might see things getting better with the more women can wrest power away from men. And I think in the last several months, I'm just optimistic, but I think I'm starting to see the beginning of that. And so that's where my optimism lies, where maybe in 2030 something, we're looking at any politician who has, you know, any idea of homophobia or racism or some religious zealotry that's kind of terrifying. We just go, nope, like you're not getting out of the gate, because we're just not there anymore. And punk rock, as an old man looking back at it, I guess what we were doing in a way was folk music, because if you look at the lyrics of Black Flag and a lot of stuff I did, it's civil rights what we were angry about. You know, and that was the beefs that we were all engaged in when I was in Washington, D.C. as a young punk rock guy. We all of our friends were gay and weird and anarchists and black and white, and we didn't really have those hang-ups. Like, well, there's a bass player in that band who's a girl. We're like, well, that's just the bass player. Like, we weren't exactly all PC and ready to, but we were not hung up like that. And I it was kind of idyllic for a little while. And maybe that's where we can go. I think what a lot of Americans are seeing now is how bad it can get. There's some Americans who might even miss George W. Bush, who could finish a sentence a lot better than some presidents. And so while it's easy to get down in the mouth, I think when you struggle for what's good, I think we stand a chance.
Henry Rollins, once frontman for the punk band Black Flag, he now enjoys a prolific career hosting radio, doing comedy, doing performances, appearing on TV and movies. He'll be at the Variety Playhouse in Atlanta this Sunday at 8 p.m. It is such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.